At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 82 of Knowing Wheel. Yes, we're back a little bit late this week. I apologise, the podcast is a bit all over the place at the moment. Last week, of course, if you missed out our USGP preview, I would recommend going back and checking out. We went through a few interesting points in the world of Formula One. But yeah, quickly though, like I said, I apologise. We're going to try and see how we get on over the next couple of weeks, but I don't quite know yet when the Mexico GP show is going to be going live. But as always, I'm joined by Jamie183. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good. Yeah, it's been a few days since the US Grand Prix, but it's very, very good. One of the races of the season, I thought. But yeah, we're here eventually, and we'll get the podcast to you. Don't quite know when, but there we go.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we could, to be fair, have done this and got it up on the normal upload day of a Tuesday. But Jamie didn't like the idea of getting up at 7 in the morning like a civilised human.
No, I could have done.
But could have, but you didn't want to.
That could have happened to us, but it didn't.
No, exactly.
Right, let's move on.
But yeah, of course, as always, though, if you're watching this on YouTube, definitely check out the links down for Spotify below. You know, a massive thank you to the support. There has been a bit of a bigger push, actually, recently over on Spotify. So a big thank you to all of you that are listening over there, enjoying it, everything like that. You know, just hitting the follow button really does help us out. As you know, I think 2023, I think, is going to be the year of No One Wheel, Jamie. I don't know about you, mate, but I'm feeling quietly confident about it. But yeah, of course, there'll be links as well to F1 merch, Bybit, everything, all that good stuff down below as well. So check it out if you're here on YouTube. But let's get into it, though. Of course, we don't really need to talk about the pre-US Grand Prix because we did all that in last week's show. So I guess we should probably just jump straight in, Jamie, to the first big announcement of the weekend, which was Logan Sargeant is a Williams driver next year if he scores enough super license points. And how Williams will it be when he gets shafted in Abu Dhabi and then doesn't get to drive next year?
Yeah, that would be very unfortunate if that happens. I think he deserves it, deserves a chance at getting the seat. Obviously, he's done a few FP1s as well. Makes a lot of sense, but yeah, he's got to not bottle it in Abu Dhabi, which, if I don't know, if he does, I can probably see Mick Schumacher ending up there, but we'll see. Hopefully for his sake, he has a completely calm weekend and just secures the top 6 championship position or whatever he needs. Yeah, it's good for him. I think we've sung Logan Sargeant's praises quite a bit over this year.
You certainly have a bit more.
Yeah. Well, I backed him and he DNF'd immediately in Hungary. So
always going to happen.
Always going to happen. Apologies to any young driver who I support. Yeah, you're basically screwed.
You're in the bin, onwards. Basically. I mean, we really did give Dennis Hauger the kiss of death this year, didn't we? Saying we reckon he was going to dominate Formula 2, and then he basically has done nothing. I mean, we've kind of spoke about it before as well, though, in the past, haven't we? We'd love to try and do a bit more content around Formula 2 next year, especially now we've both hopefully got a bit more time to watch it. But we'll wait and see as to how things go. Hey, you kept going on at me about it. You wanted to do, remember, Jamie, when we first started this podcast.
Yeah, before I worked Sundays, I said that.
You wanted to do a whole F2 mini show wrapped inside. It was going to be a great idea.
That was because Joe won in Bahrain in 2020.
You did get really hyped that Joe Wine, you won a single race. But I mean, yeah, I was thinking about this as well, going into 2023. We have quite possibly the weirdest F2 selection getting promoted, don't we? We got a champion from 2 years ago, a champion from 3 years ago, and a guy that finished third. Like, how, like, just bizarre is that combo?
Vries. Yeah, of course. That is very weird. It's like being F2 champion isn't enough to get you a seat now. You've got to then wait a year or two. But that's what it was for, like, Van Dorn and Gasly and Palmer. So that makes a little bit of sense, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a bit strange, isn't it, I think, at the end of the day? Because it is weirdly common now in Formula 2, but
it's like the seats get sewn up too quickly for the F2 champion to get one, so they've got to wait a year. But
yeah, it's all a bit strange, isn't it? I think we'd have to really do a deep dive into that over the winter break. But I mean, we sort of look at the other drivers that Logan Sargeant's been going up against this year. Of course, Drogovic has ran a pretty dominant campaign, but just has no link anywhere. Of course, he's Aston Martin reserve driver next year, so I'm guessing all he's hoping for is when Alonso even gets bored with the team after 3 Grand Prix next year, that he can sort of slide in there and take the seat.
There we go. Under 5 minutes for the first Alonso slander.
It's not Alonso slander. It's Aston Martin slander.
Go get him, comments.
Go on, have me. Go on, try it. I can't wait to roast him. Nice driving with an illegal car, mate. But, I mean, Formula 2 this year has been weird, though, hasn't it? Because, again, one of the big ones that I think kind of went, not under the radar necessarily, but did just get shafted all year long was Teo Pourchaire, wasn't it? I mean, he should have been...
Liam Lawson.
And Liam Lawson as well, but I mean, Teo Pourchaire spent half the year getting mecha-chromed, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, both he and Liam Lawson should have probably been top three, definitely.
Well,
I mean,
Pourchaire is my pantomime villain because he would be replacing Joe, so I've got to just not like him out of principle.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. Teo Pourchaire is looking pretty comfortable now in P2 overall heading into the championship finale. But I mean, Liam Lawson's down in 7th place still. But that being said, he's still only, 12 points behind Logan Sargeant. So it could still all go. I mean, you mentioned there how you think Mick Schumacher would go to Williams next year. I do actually believe now that Haas are going to re-sign him for one more season.
I don't believe at all.
But any particular reason?
Hulk, and he's trash.
You still believe Hulk's going to be going there, despite the fact there's no real conversation about that anymore?
Yeah, there is. There was last week, anyway.
Well, but that just kind of all fell apart immediately, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, there we go. I still think Hulk will get it. I think Schumacher was terrible on Sunday in the race. But
he had damage. He had damage. It's just the way it goes. But, I mean, we've got a new driver at Williams, a new driver at McLaren, and a new driver at AlphaTauri next year. It is Lando, George, and Alex 2.0. I don't think these three are going to quite get on the same way as those three did. But speaking of Alex, Lando, and George, let's talk about qualifying then, Jamie, for the US Grand Prix.
What a link that was.
It was a stretch, I think, is how we're going to word that one. Just to warn you guys as well, Jamie's actually got to go out after we record this show, so I'm going to see how badly I can wind him up tonight and get him to try and push
get on with it. We've been speaking... This section wasn't even in the notes, and we've been going 6-7 minutes already. I'm fuming.
Well, it's just the way things go, mate. Just get on with it. Let's talk about qualifying, though. It was a weird qualifying, wasn't it, really? Esteban Ocon, immediately out in Q1. Not something we'd expect from Alpine after
a few good races.
No,
he's a bit weird, isn't he, Ocon? Like, Ocon just randomly... I can't remember what other race it was. It was out in Q1. I think, was it... There was one race where he was just 16th for no obvious reason. Alonso got top 10. It's just randomly, yeah. He just... has weird off weekends when this was one of them. I mean, he ended up lucking his way ahead of Alonso in the points, but yeah, that's been how it's gone all season. So,
I mean, he was joined by obviously Nicholas Latifi out in Q1, that really goes without saying. A final US Grand Prix for him, but he is signed up to IndyCar next year. And I'm not saying this as a joke, I'm genuinely intrigued to see how he's going to get on next year IndyCar, because I think that is probably going to be quite a weird little season for him. But Daniel Ricciardo as well, weirdly enough, that still goes without saying. How on earth McLaren is still paying for him just to stink up the place?
He looked so depressed after the weekend, generally.
Why on earth would you put on your helmet, want to go fast, when you've had the season you have? Because you do genuinely want to go fast. You're looking for answers. But found it quite cute that the fact the horse managed to get paddock pass. When half of the people I see on Twitter moan about not being able to get paddock passes.
Wow, that'll rile them up if they see that.
Oh, mate, you know how it is. You know how it is. But
here he is, Mr. Red Bull Hospitality over here.
What can I say, you know? You've got to make moves, mate. Got to make moves. I'm bringing you along next year.
I'll take it.
But, I mean, yeah, Latifi, Ricciardo, Esteban Ocon, all at Q1, as well as both Haas cars. The one weekend where you want the Haas to do really well, of course, announcing their new title partnership next year with MoneyGram. They were seemingly nowhere on Saturday, and to be honest, kind of lucked into a decent result on Sunday on K-Mag's side of the garage.
Yeah. He did very well to make those tyres last, but yeah, it was more by luck than judgment, you feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Q2, though, no real surprises there, was it? Of course, Gasly, Seb, Zhou Guanyu, Albon, Yuki Tsunoda are all out in the second qualifying session. But talk me through Q3, Jamie. And I'm intrigued to see how quickly you're going to do it.
Yeah. It was very late in Saturday evening. I actually can't remember what the first runs were like. But I think it was basically Leclerc and Verstappen were there. Hamilton was actually right there in the first runs, wasn't he?
Yeah. Hamilton was rapid all weekend.
Yeah, second runs, it was very bizarre because we just thought, oh, it was just a classic 2022 qualifying session where last lap Verstappen and Leclerc just pull that extra bit out. Generally, Leclerc has been ahead. But yeah, surprisingly, Carlos Sainz sort of came out of nowhere and stuck it on pole position. Is his second fastest qualifying time ever, his third pole position because of Belgium as well. Yeah, Leclerc down, well, it was a Ferrari one too, Leclerc second, but with a 10-place penalty, so lined up, I think, 11th on the grid with other penalties
12th.
As well. 12th on the grid, okay. Yeah, Verstappen and then Perez, it was a bit of a Noah's Ark. Mercedes looked there and thereabouts, but then just didn't have that edge at the very last second. So it was Hamilton ahead of Russell, 5th and 6th, as we've seen so often this season. Lance Stroll, best of the rest. Aston Martin were good, actually, this the whole weekend. They were very on it, probably the fastest car in the midfield this race, I would say.
Yep.
Yeah, ahead of Norris, Alonso, and Valtteri Bottas getting his car into Q3.
My man, Valtteri Bottas, who I watched, actually, doing some simulator runs around Kota a couple of weeks ago. It was very interesting.
Did you show him how to do Turn 19? He could have done with that help in the race.
No, to be fair, actually, on the simulator, he was really struggling with the final corner in the S's. I think I watched him loop it about 3 times there. Little bit of insider.
Well, on the game, you could just cut the inside of that by about 3 meters.
No, this was on the way into that corner. He'd loop it round going in and go the wrong way.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, which is a bit strange, but you know, we won't talk about Valtteri Bottas and some technical analysis on that front. I mean, really, what you need to know is he's still got 46 points against Zhou Guanyu, 6 this year. So.
Oh, yeah. Context not needed, apparently.
I've noticed, though, obviously, like we said, you know, Leclerc, Perez further down the order, that bumped Hamilton and George Russell onto the second row there, and of course a lot of cars bumped up the rostrum because of it. However, I've noticed next up on the agenda is the quiz.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that's linked to qualifying in some way or another?
Yes, it is, actually, because Carlos Sainz took his first ever pole position at the US in the United States.
Yep.
This is quite a simple quiz, but I reckon you might have a chance of getting all of them. There have been 10 different pole sitters in the United States Grand Prix since the year 2000.
Okay.
I haven't got a timer up.
You might want to get a timer up.
I might want to do that. I completely forgot that aspect of the quiz. Your time starts now.
So you got Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen hasn't, if I remember correctly, Charles Leclerc, Valtteri Bottas, I'm pretty certain Nico Rosberg got pole 1 year, Michael Schumacher, Kimi Raikkonen possibly, Juan Pablo Montoya, Fernando Alonso.
No, he didn't.
No? How many am I missing?
You've got 4 left, including... Well, one of them is obvious, but I didn't give it.
Michael Schumacher, Rubens Barrichello, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, Barrichello. You've got 30 seconds.
And I got 3
there
more.
There were 3 more.
Verstappen.
2 of them. Yes, Verstappen did. I don't know why he said he didn't.
Did he? When did he get a pole?
Last year, 2021.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Hamilton started pole.
Well, he definitely had one. I just looked.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I've got to still try and get 2 more, haven't I?
Yeah, one of them you hate when I include them, but your time's up. Sorry. I always include the one that I give in the question, but you didn't say Carlos Sainz.
Oh, what? That don't count.
And the other one you would get if you thought about it, but it's a bit obscure. So, 2005, the US Grand Prix that never was.
Was that not Alonso?
No. Not ring Yano Trulli.
Oh, it was Yano. I know it was a Renault and I couldn't remember the other one's name.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Trulli. So you got technically 8 out of 10. 8 out of 9, if you want to call it that.
I'm gonna call it 8 out of 9.
And yeah, Verstappen did get a pole last year.
Are you sure? I don't think he did.
I have just checked, and yes he did.
Why did Crofty say he's failed to get pole 2 years in a row then?
I don't know. Crofty's facts are never on point.
No, not facts then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll take 8 out of 9 then.
Eight out of 9, yeah. Decent.
Not bad going. Fair not play. Bad going. Let's get into the Grand Prix, though, itself then, Jamie. Kota, of course, long run, well, quite a steep run up into Waterstone 1. Always the opportunity for some moves to be made. Talk me through it.
Yeah, there was plenty of opportunity to be made, and George Russell was certainly one of those drivers looking for opportunity. But before that, Verstappen absolutely launched it off the line. It's one of the best starts I've seen in quite a while. Was well clear in the lead by turn one, which left Sainz in second. Went round the outside, and yeah, I think it was a bit of a racing incident, really. The big incident of turn one was Russell down the inside, and Sainz trying to do a switch back on Verstappen. Didn't really work out at all. Sainz got spun out. Russell had to obviously... Yeah, I don't think he had damage majorly, but definitely had to let off the throttle and get on the brake and lost a bit of time. And yeah, Sainz was out of the race from that, which is a big shame for him. But yeah, it happens like that sometimes. I think that's, what, third time or fourth time that he's been out in the first two laps?
Yeah, I think fourth time he's been out within the first two laps. But is it four? So we got USA, definitely Suzuka last weekend.
Imola.
Imola and Australia.
Yeah,
I thought there was one more as well, but you're probably right. Yeah, I think it's four, but he's had another two where he's picked up damage as well. Lap ones have just not been Sainz's forte this year.
Not at all.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, completely mainly George Russell's fault there. But why was Sainz trying to switch back out of turn one on lap one of that Grand Prix? It's never going to work.
It is a bit bold, especially when it's such a wide corner. You can basically guarantee there's going to be cars on your inside if you've got that bad a start. So it's just a bit of like almost lack of awareness, I guess. Yeah, it's obviously heat at the moment stuff. You're just acting on instincts, but it wasn't the smartest move from Sainz to try and switch back like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, unfortunate for him, but he was out of the race there and then.
Yeah, I mean, going through that start though, really the shining star, wasn't it? Off that launch was Sebastian Vettel up five places immediately. Aston Martin, like we said, they seem to just suddenly this weekend be right at the front of the midfield. And early on in the Grand Prix, Stroll was up in P3 and Seb was up to fifth. They were genuinely looking like good threats.
Yeah, yeah. And they had, well, Perez, Leclerc and both Mercedes were behind them. So
Hamilton was ahead.
Oh yeah, Hamilton was second, wasn't he? Russell fourth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good stuff from Aston. And they actually, recently they've been decent. Obviously, they were pretty good pace in the wet in Japan.
They kind of got overshadowed, didn't they? Based on the fact that Alpine were insanely rapid.
Yeah, yeah. But they've certainly been easily fifth best car. Like level with Alpine and McLaren. So fifth, sixth-ish.
Yeah.
It's looking good. Alonso maybe hasn't made the worst career choice in the world. Because he made that in 2015, so
yeah, Aston Martin, I'm sure will throw it away by the start of next year. But yeah, I mean, it calmed down quite a lot very, very quickly though, didn't it? Early on in the Grand Prix, we had Leclerc and Perez just sort of slicing and dicing their way through, picking up moves quite nicely. So I mean, Verstappen was just sort of pulling away at the front of the field. Hamilton was hanging around P2 there ahead of George Russell, and Leclerc, Perez. Sainz was out, obviously, lap one with a water leak. That was his afternoon completely ruined until lap 18, just over one quarter distance into the Grand Prix. Bottas, a really, really weird little mistake in towards the penultimate corner.
Yeah, it was one that you wouldn't expect from a driver of that experience. I think he just literally got caught up by a gust of wind. It's obviously a very high speed, like the car's under a lot of pressure at that point, but still, he shouldn't really be making that error of a man of well over 200 Grand Prix. So, yeah, not the best from him. Out on the spot because he found a gravel trap out there. And yeah, that caused a safety car, which really did spice up the race, to say the least. But yeah, that allowed Leclerc a free pit stop. He was running second.
Rigged.
He hadn't stopped.
Rigged. Yeah. Alfa Romeo, we've got a Ferrari power unit. It must be rigged.
Well, they said that. They say that all the time about AlphaTauri and Red Bull.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
There we go. F1 is rigged. You heard it here first.
F1 is certainly rigged.
Yeah. Leclerc came out fourth, I believe, behind both Mercedes. We basically gained him all the time that he lost in qualifying or by having that penalty. So nice for him. And the restart was pretty hectic to say the least, especially in the midfield, because yeah, that was the crash, the Alonso Stroll crash for, I think it was P8 at the time. Absolutely horrific. I have no clue. I'm still confused to this day, 3 days, 4 days later, how Alonso carried on. I do not know. But yeah,
he hit the barrier square.
But he was flying.
Yeah, but let's talk about the incident itself, of course. Yeah, they go out onto the back straight. Alonso's tucked up in the slipstream. He pulls to the left-hand side of Stroll at exactly the same time Stroll tries to go defensive. And, I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. If that car had been pitched up 10 degrees more, it would have gone over on itself.
Yeah, yeah, Mark Webber Valencia style.
Exactly. I mean, apparently, I don't know whether this is true or not necessarily, but apparently Alonso has also said it was a racing incident.
That's because he's going to the team next year.
Well, that's a very, very good point, isn't it? But, I mean, for me, I know I've sort of said this a couple of times, but I've been quite vocal about this. I genuinely believe for Stroll that should have been a qualifying ban for Mexico. That is so ridiculously dangerous. It honestly threw me back. Have you ever seen the video of the Euro F3 race at Monza?
Where they had to abandon the race
had to be abandoned in the end because there was that much carnage.
That was Stroll as well, wasn't
it? That was Stroll as well in that race, yep. It's a mistake that you make once in your first year of open wheelers where you move on someone like that and they go over the back of you. You don't make it 6 years into Formula One. It's so dangerous to move around like that in the middle of a straight.
Alonso did go momentarily before Stroll as well, so he could have seen it. I think he did see it in his mirrors, which is why he then moved.
I don't think you consciously do that in the way he did, to be fair.
But it did look more of a reaction because he did glance in his mirrors just before and then moved. I guess he saw Alonso was close and thought, I'd better block him off.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't work out, to say the least. But yeah, Stroll was out on the spot, which was a shame because he was actually having a really good race.
Yeah, Aston Martin could have done with some really big points this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Alonso obviously looked at the sky. Luckily, like I said,
for a solid 3 or 4 seconds.
The thing is, well, if that car had stayed lifted up, he could have gone like the front end over the Armco barrier.
Yeah.
And that would have been really, really nasty. But somehow, yeah, hit the wall square and carried on going. The Alpine must be made of, well, very, very
reminds
strong
me of
stuff.
Singapore 17 when Alonso's McLaren was involved in that huge crash at turn one and then just carried on. They retired him eventually, but he carried on for like 15 laps.
Not Singapore 17.
Yeah, it was.
He ripped a wheel off, I swear.
No, he didn't. No, he was on the outside. He got hit by Verstappen and Raikkonen's barreling cars.
I mean, the iconic one, isn't it, of Alonso was Baku.
Yeah.
Where he had two punctures, didn't he? Still limped it back round and then did score points again that weekend.
And fun stat coming, well, had the FIA not intervened, Alonso is the only driver to do part of a race on two wheels and score points twice. Because Mark Webber did it once in China, 2013.
Yeah. Oh, other drivers have definitely done it before.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the Minardi guy that flipped it at Monza coming towards the line?
He did it on
no wheels and still finished.
Yeah.
In many ways, it was kind of good that obviously Alonso was able to carry on and Stroll wasn't. I did find that quite ironic that Stroll's car's there just spinning down the straight as Alonso's up in the sky and carries on.
Yeah, yeah. Some quality driving from the drivers behind. I think Gasly and Tsunoda and Norris all did so well to have not hit either car.
Tsunoda got told off, didn't he? Because he's built up a bit of a tendency when things like that happen just to go foot to the floor straight through it. Which is kind of a dangerous strategy, but
again,
it kind of just encapsulates what I think makes Yuki great. They're a reckless behaviour, but in a kind of a weird way that he's
quite nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't annoy anyone. I think he's too small to annoy anyone.
Well, don't get me wrong. There's certainly a big conversation that needs to be had at some point about this sort of romanticisation about how small Yuki is. but that's just Twitter being weird, I would have thought as well. But yeah, I mean, big, big crash there. That then brought out another safety car, didn't it?
Immediately.
And then things kind of calmed down again, didn't they, for a while?
Yeah, after the restart, there was no real drama on the second restart. Verstappen just started gapping again from Hamilton. I think Leclerc got past Russell fairly swiftly up to third place.
Yeah.
And then, it was kind of normal until the next round of pit stops. in which, Verstappen pit from the lead, one lap after Hamilton had pit to try and undercut. I think the gap was around 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So it could have, I think it would have been really close, the undercut. But Verstappen then had an 11-second pit stop, which was very nice. And at that point, the entire Team LH is dreaming of number 104.
Honestly, 104 I was like, written that's in it. The stars.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, I was like, well, Hamilton's won. That's annoying.
Important to note, though, Hamilton went on to hards, Max went on to mediums.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mercedes were less confident about their tyre wear. Even though there's only, 18 laps to go? 17, 18?
Yeah, but mediums really wore out quite quickly, didn't they? Throughout the entirety of the Grand Prix. It was a very, very strange one.
Yeah, but that slow stop also dropped Verstappen behind Leclerc. And I think, had it been clear air, Verstappen versus Hamilton, Verstappen, there would have been no doubt, I don't think, that he would have caught him back. But the fact he had Leclerc to fight and pass made it even more uncertain if he was still going to win or not. That was kind of the storyline. The main storyline for the rest of the race from that point was, Verstappen, how fast can he get past Leclerc? And then how fast can he catch and pass Hamilton? And it made for a really intriguing end to the race, kind of like last year, but roles reversed. And cars were very much similar last year.
Yes, cars were much, much similar. I mean, the COTA has always been a track as well. You know, it's been a Hamilton hunting ground for so many years.
Definitely.
Isn't it? Of course, you know, we talk about, you know, he got that win for McLaren back at the very first race there. Won all the turbo hybrid races there against Nico Rosberg, of course. The only race he hadn't won for about 6 years there was 2013, where Seb had the OP car, and then obviously Kimi put an end to that run. And then so did Bottas, a race that I think everyone forgot was actually quite good between Hamilton and Bottas the year after.
And Verstappen was there, was he not?
Verstappen was pretty close as well, if I remember correctly, yeah. No, that was 2018, wasn't it?
Yeah, Verstappen was second 2018. I thought he was second again. Maybe he was...
No,
Bottas passed Hamilton at the end, didn't
he? Bottas passed Hamilton later on in the day in 2019, I think, because the championship was all but sealed up. But it then did also mean Sebastian Vettel, which we mentioned had a really good start and, of course, was just able to utilise the Aston Martin pace, led what is probably his last ever laps in Formula 1.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I've just leant forward to turn my light on and didn't reach it.
I wonder what you were doing.
Yeah, Vettel, apparently he was on 3,499 laps led.
Yep.
And he made it 3,500, which is very satisfying.
Yeah,
although he's going to finish on 299 weight races. So,
I mean, I don't know, but apparently his dad was on the German commentary team this weekend.
Really? That's nice.
And apparently there were quite a few conversations. Well, from what I gathered, apparently there's other stuff going on at the moment as to why Seb wants to leave, which is most likely, obviously, you know, wants to spend time with family. You know, he's got three kids.
Wants to save the bees.
But I'm starting out, you know, from the quotes I saw on Twitter, of course, you take them with a pinch of salt, everything like that. But the quotes his dad was coming out with, it does make you wonder whether Seb's gone, maybe I don't want to go. Maybe I have called it just a little bit.
Well, yes, ever since he announced his retirement, he seems to just be enjoying it more and generally driving quite well.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I was going to talk about this. This was vintage Seb this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't got a car right at the front. Don't get me wrong. But it's kind of just there, like, now the pressure's off because he's retiring at the end. It don't really matter what happens. He seems to be better again.
Yeah, yeah.
Seb just is a driver that can't drive under insane pressure.
Well, that's always been the case, hasn't it? 2010.
But this is what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, I know he won the title at the end, but the amount of mistakes that year. And then obviously
Red Bull
14,
should, everyone forgets,
17.
2010, people love to paint
Red Bull
this
should
story.
Have absolutely done
Red Bull should have absolutely cream-crackered
they
everyone
got all but
that
four
year.
Poles.
Like, it was such a dominant car that, don't get me wrong, was botched a bit by reliability and, of course, Alonso and Hamilton, you know, they were
very,
both
very
absolutely
drivers, yeah.
Brilliant drivers as well. But Red Bull, I mean, I think, what was it, Seb won on like 250-odd points? That season, 56,
yeah,
I think it was.
256, yeah.
256 to 252. And you think nowadays, you know, that Red Bull should have probably been looking at 300 plus points. I think it was
easily.
A 19 race season, wasn't it? You know, to win on 256 points, effectively 10 race wins and a seventh place in a 19 race campaign is kind of mad.
Yeah.
when you think about it. But
yeah, but he was on it this weekend. He was very good.
He was. It was great to see. And yeah, 10 years after Hamilton overtook him on lap 41 of the Grand Prix for the race win, Hamilton overtook Sebastian Vettel on lap 41 of the Grand Prix for the race lead once more, which was quite poetic in a weird way. That
yeah,
shows,
it was,
goes
actually.
To show 10 years on, but then, is still better.
Sadly for Seb, it all fell apart when Aston Martin boxed him and gave him a 7 or 8 second pit stop.
Yeah, which even I was a bit gutted about, to be honest, because I didn't really want to
see
him
have a good
result.
I weirdly was supporting Seb this weekend, which I didn't see coming, but there we go.
Just the way it goes sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, the talk of the town, wasn't it, was just Verstappen was taking time out of Lewis Hamilton. I mean, the gap one lap would go down by a tenth or so, next lap it would go down by half second. I'll be completely honest, Jamie, I was literally bricking myself.
I was finding it so intense because I was just imagining all of my Hamilton supporting friends just stressing like mad.
I was so stressed. I cannot even begin to describe to you just how much I was freaking out. Because I think the thing is as well, you know, it was different to anything else because Hamilton was obviously on such the back foot. And, you know, the last time we've had anything like this for Lewis was obviously Abu Dhabi last year, but that was completely different emotions. But there was just that bit of me that went, this has got to be that poetic moment where Hamilton
would have been insane.
Just...
I would have rated it just for the storyline.
It would have just been like that. It just keeps the streak going for another year. You know, that poetic, just when you think all is lost this season... Mercedes just get that one win back on the board. And on lap 50, Max Verstappen just got up the inside and sailed off into the distance because that Red Bull is ferociously quick down the straight. But I think, you know, people are giving Hamilton stick for not defending that more aggressively. I genuinely don't actually think he thought the Red Bull would be anywhere near as close as it was.
No,
by
it
the
was
braking zone.
7 tenths at the start of the straight.
Who gained like, 7 tenths on a straight?
Yeah, yeah. I do think... Hamilton of 5 years ago would have defended that, but
there was no point though, was there really?
It would have put it off for one more lap, and you never know if you do that five more times, you've won the race.
Yeah, but like, you can. It just won't happen.
You don't know if you don't try. Like,
yeah, but
you got nothing to lose.
And like I
really.
Said, I think the thing was he genuinely was surprised that Verstappen got the run that he did. But you mean for Mercedes, they're in a much slower car on slower, older tyres. Hamilton didn't really, still older, it didn't really, they weren't really going to be able to do anything sensibly about it. And of course, they're still,
I was a bit disappointed he didn't cover the inside.
Yeah, so was I, but
it wouldn't have made, I don't think it would have made a difference.
Have changed,
it would have just shown the spirit a bit more, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, we did get one more final battle, didn't we? Sebastian Vettel again, another shout out to him, banging last lap overtake on Kevin Magnussen for P8.
Did another one, Albon, a few laps earlier. It's the same position, running outside of reverse
he did,
turkey
didn't he?
Turn 8.
But, I mean, that move on the final lap, though, was brilliant, because obviously he was on
quality.
Opposite lock through some of it.
Especially as it's on Kevin Magnussen, who you know is not going to be that respectful to you.
No, exactly. I mean, not that respectful is a bit unfair. I think just tells people how it is.
Well,
suck the balls,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, very hard-line defending.
I think, harsh but fair. Firm, I think, is the way we describe it.
Says the Hulk fan over here.
Yeah, exactly. You're just a little suck my balls, mate. Just get over it. Get over it, Jamie.
There we go. But yeah, Vettel, I think he was out in 13th, 14th from the pit stop.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
He had
recovery.
Much fresher tyres, but he did completely rinse through a DRS train. So fair play to him. Ended up P8. And yeah, the other thing was Alonso, after being showing up, I think Martin Brundle said, showed up on the nearby radar halfway through the race, just rocked up in P6. Also having... Well, obviously he pit under the second safety car to change his front wing and tyres and then just ran with those tyres to the end and was briefly P6. Norris got him at the end for P7 to put him back down to P7. But yeah, the fact he was going in P6 with the car in that state, which we'll get onto in a few minutes, was insane. Like, I really liked, it was kind of poetic, all the four champions on the grid were all absolutely on it this race.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was very much just a weekend of the old guard showing the young guys how it's done. Yeah, I mean, he's a dominant car.
He still drove very well.
He did. No, don't get me wrong. He did still drive very well, but very, very dominant car still. You know, you can't do anything against that Red Bull at the moment. But
well, why wasn't Perez second then?
Because Perez doesn't get the same car as Verstappen. But yeah, I mean, Verstappen, race victory though, ahead of Hamilton, Leclerc there. I mean, Leclerc, yeah, very quiet, but very good recovery to P3 in the end. Means he's now 1 point back ahead of Sergio Perez, if I remember correctly. Perez fourth ahead of George Russell there. He didn't really deserve more than P5, did he, George? I don't know what's going on over the last few weekends. You know, he just... You know, he had such a good first half of the season. And don't get me wrong, I also think it's very unfair that he's just been involved in a couple of incidents recently and now everyone hates him.
Yeah.
But I think he just needs to... Last three races of the year, just tone it back a bit and just finish the year... In many ways, just try and finish the year quite quietly, to be honest, so people kind of forget about it all.
Go and reset, yeah.
Exactly. Lando Norris, though, P6, brilliant drive by him. And yeah, Fernando Alonso P7 until Haas decided to report him because apparently the meatball flag doesn't exist, and then when someone reports you, then it does exist again, but after a Grand Prix, it was just ridiculous, wasn't it?
It was stupid. I felt so annoyed and sad for Alonso.
Even I did. That's saying
something. Because, like, he has driven out of his skin that race. He is, like...
Not only has he driven out of his skin, he's flown out of his skin as well.
Yeah. And, like, if the FIA deem his car unsafe, then give him a black and orange flag.
It's not that difficult, surely.
And they just didn't. Because, like, yeah, if they did give him a black and orange, they probably would have had to retire because there's no way they're going to fix all that damage in a pit stop. But yeah, it's like at least give him the disappointment there and then when he's just had the crash.
And
the fact they let him go on in the race,
yeah,
finish P7, and then gave him a 30-second penalty is just a bit ridiculous, really.
But the car was deemed legal in Parc Fermé.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. I mean, we haven't had confirmation yet. Confirmation might have come out by the time the podcast goes live.
They did appeal, yeah.
But the appeal, I think, is Thursday morning. So it's probably actually going to be going out around the same time as this podcast. But I
hope they will.
Genuinely think they will
not
overturn
it. Not only for
it.
My fantasy team.
Yeah, I think they will overturn it, to be honest. And that's not just for the poetry or anything like that. I just genuinely think they'll go, well, this is a bit ridiculous. You should have done this at that time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, another one as well that I wanted to just quickly shout out. Alex Albon spent a lot of the afternoon nestled just inside the top 10 and was unlucky. You know, a couple of quick
he's
cars
done it
came
so
past
many
him
times.
Towards the
that
end.
Williams is just a rocket ship. Well, he gets into positions and then just stays there because it's rapid on the straight.
This is what
Which
I was genuinely wondering, though. How many more points do you reckon if they'd kept George Russell they'd have this year?
Yeah, because Albon is definitely not as good as Russell.
No.
Like, Latifi scored points. De Vries scored points in his one time. How many points are they on as a team?
8. 2, 2, and 4.
Well, if Albon's on 4... I'd back Russell to be on at least, like, 10-ish.
It does... I mean, I don't think it would have bumped them above AlphaTauri or anything that, but it does make you wonder how many times, you know, Russell could have snuck in sort of P7, P8 here and there.
Mm.
Because, like we said, you know, he is definitely a better driver than any of those three. But, yeah, I mean, it was just a little side note there. Of course, Yuki Tsunoda, technically, at the moment, is classified P9. He'll score points either way. And then it's just a case of whether Alonso scores points or Ocon. At the end of the day there. Does mean, actually, looking at the Constructors' Championship, we've suddenly got a lot more battles going on again.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Everyone now, except for the big three and Williams, are locked into a battle between now and the end of the year. Six
Mercedes
points.
And Ferrari aren't that far apart either.
53 is pretty big to recover in 3 Grand Prix,
yeah,
to
I
be
suppose.
Fair. But 6 points between Alpine and McLaren, 1 point between Aston Martin and Alfa Romeo, and 2 points between Haas and AlphaTauri. Aston Martin have been on a tear.
Give me who's winning out of them three.
So, I'm going to say Alpine. I am actually going to say Alfa Romeo. And
really?
I'm going to go Haas.
That's the most nailed on that Aston are beating Alfa Romeo.
I wouldn't say... I think Aston Martin, don't get me wrong, had a really strong weekend here. I think they'll struggle next weekend because it's Mexico and the Mercedes power units always struggle there. And of course, Alfa Romeo have been starting to bring a few more upgrades in recently again. You know, sort of brought a couple of upgrades into COTA. Bottas should have scored points, of course, made that mistake. So they should be a couple extra clear. But I mean, think Alfa Romeo are just about going to hang on.
Alfa Romeo have scored 1 point since Canada.
Yeah.
And Aston Martin have got, in the last three races,
about
a 40. 6th, 8th, 6th, and 7th.
I've said what I've got to say, Jamie. Why? What do you think out of the three?
I'll go Alpine as well because Ricciardo's just making the McLaren fight with one hand tied behind their back.
Well, he's trying to make the McLaren fight whilst they're hitting themselves with one hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, imagine.
Aston Martin all day. You're going to finish sixth.
Imagine you're getting paid $21 million just to stink up Woking. Like, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Aston Martin are going to beat Alfa Romeo, sadly. This one's hard. I would go for AlphaTauri. Just they need 3 points, and for like 3 points over Haas, I'd back them for that, I think.
Fair enough. Shall we jump in then, Jamie, to driver of the day?
Sorry, I'm just an absolute. Yeah, he's actually reached my light. 1 minute.
Driver of the day.
Driver of the day. I mean, I've said it already. The Ford champs did unbelievably.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I was to pick one, I would go for Alonso.
Yeah, I think if he gets the penalty revoked, I will also probably say Alonso. Otherwise,
I don't think it would change my mind. I don't think it should have been a penalty.
No, so I don't think it should have been, but I'm going to say Sebastian Vettel.
Fair.
I think
throwing
this
it back 10 years.
Exactly. It really has been the throwback weekend, hasn't it? Against my will, let's go into F1 fantasy. Oh, dearie me, what a disaster that has been.
I generally have one of the weekends of the season until Alonso got penalised, which is very, very sad.
Right. This was not a case of if you outscore me. It's a case of by how much. How many points
because
did you score?
What I did, and I feel like an absolute genius, because as we know, the only top six driver you can turbo is Carlos Sainz right now because of the values. I decided to instead go for Lando Norris and not have Sainz at all, which looks pretty poor after qualifying, but then luckily for me, Science DNF'd. So yeah, I ended up with 159.
Ah.
How about you? What are you saying?
Well, I have a guess.
Well, pre-podcast, you were disclosed to me it's not triple figures, which
it's
is
not.
Pretty shocking. I'll go for 75.
82.
Oof. That's
none of my three teams got over 100 points.
That is terrible. That is shocking from you.
I got shafted. For lack of a better term. Sainz turboed, 10 points.
Nice.
Verstappen, 46 points. Perez, 23 points. Alpine, 9 points. Bottas, -4. Alonso, -2.
Yeah.
82 points. I mean, my risky team did even worse. I had Hamilton on 54 points. Aston Martin. I turboed Alonso. And then I had Ricciardo, Sainz and Gasly. Ooh, between all four of them
team.
Got me 10 points. And then my meme team, I had Turbo Zhou Guanyu, got me 24. Haas, K-Mag, Mick, and both Williams, which needs to be 99 points.
Yeah.
My meme team's designed to score as little as possible, and it scored me the most points this week.
So, yeah. Where are you in your own league?
Oh, like 6,208,000. Yeah, we're up to, thank you very much, over 4,500 of you now involved. Absolutely insane. I want to definitely get it over 5k next year. I'm actually going to try, Jamie. I'm going to go on the record in saying this. I'm going to try next year and get some prizes sorted.
Ooh.
I'm going
to
try.
I might have to try hard that then.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be that good that you can try hard it, but I'm going to go on the record here now and say I'm going to try and get some prizes ready for next year. So out of 4,506 teams, Jamie, where did you finish at COTA?
Oh, just the one in COTA?
Yeah.
Okay, I finished. Actually, it's not that impressive. 1,299.
Better than me.
Yeah, a lot better than you.
Out of 4,500 people, I finished 4,325th.
Oof.
180 and that's people did worse than me.
That's a real team as well.
That's so a real funny. Team.
Overall, though, where are you?
I am. I don't even want to look. Let me keep scrolling. Where are
it
you
says
overall?
Just, overall in your league, out of 4,500 people,
yeah,
I am 314th.
Oh dear. Oh.
We're doing quality.
Oh. 1,270th.
Oof.
I'm almost 1,000 places behind
good.
You. I can't believe
good.
That.
I reckon if I break top 250, I'll be very happy.
Have you got a Mega Driver? You've used your Mega Driver.
No, I've used
you?
Mine, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, my meme team, that's the second time this year it's ranked... Sorry, the third time this year it's ranked within the top 4,000, which is quite
wow.
good going. I had 3,960th at Monza, 3,970th at COTA, and then 3,200th at Bahrain.
It just sounds like whenever Joe does well, you get in the top 4K.
Exactly. I do pretty well then. Do we want to run me through? I'll do top 10 for USA. You give us top 10 overall for the season, yeah?
All right.
That seems fair. So, Team 44. Can't imagine who he's got on his roster. One from Kota. 337 points there. So, Jamie didn't do that well at all, mate.
No, I did pretty rubbish, actually.
He had Hamilton Megad, Charles Leclerc, Yuki Tsunoda, K-Mag Turboed. What a mad lad. Mick Schumacher and Red Bull. That is a banging team. Fair play. Can you quickly see what the most anyone scored this weekend was on the Global League? Peter 78 in P2 ahead of Matthew M in P3. Juan P in 4th ahead of Nathan, Sam Petros, Mauro and Jose in 9th place. They all use their Mega Driver. 270 points, though, for Turbo Ralph P, getting inside the top 10 overall this week with a roster of Turbo Norris, just like Jamie, Hamilton Verstappen, both Haas cars and Red Bull. Hats off to you, good sir. That is an incredible score without using your Mega Driver this weekend. Jamie, what
you got top 10 without Mega, sorry.
You got top 10 without Mega, 270 points.
The most you could get, I think, or the most that anyone got in the world was 384.
Oh, so that's pretty good going then by Dugu, I'm going to guess. I'm sorry, I butchered your name there. Give us a top 10 rundown then, Jamie,
top
of
10
how
rundown.
The season is looking.
We have the Volvo 240, number 17, Global 2021.
I love that
Philip
name.
Philip S is still winning with a Mega Driver left.
Yeah, I
on
mean...
3833 points.
Poor Larry, man.
Oh.
No, was it Larry
no,
or was
Larry,
it Max? Sorry.
Mustache,
yeah, Max, top of the world earlier on this year.
And he Megged a DNF, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, we've got Kevin L in P2 overall, 22 points behind, with the boy who cried Wolf P3. Just a further, 14 points behind.
16, mate.
Sorry, 16 points. And Larry in P4, we've got Mihir S in P5 with Dipam. Mansell's moustache, it's all gone wrong. He's going to finish P7. I don't know.
He's probably not going to finish P7.
Yeah, if you've bottled top 10, that's terrible.
He probably will. There's like four people right behind him with Mega Drivers still.
True.
Oh, Max, mate, honestly, if you need a hug, just hit me up on Twitter, seriously.
Bartek 8th with Rosario P9 and Ralph P. Is he the guy who did top 10?
I think he's new
no
to the league.
He could be.
I don't think we've said that name before, and he's nestled inside the top 10 still with his Mega Driver. I think Ralph P might be.
He's got a top 10 before.
If you're not new to the league, I'm really sorry. The fact I've probably just slandered you there accidentally, but I think Ralph P might be quite new.
I'm not sure.
To the league.
I'll back him to be there all season.
Fair enough. Our personal predictions, though, I don't really want to talk about these either. They were a disaster, weren't they?
Yeah, I beat you again. So that's that one done.
I mean, it's all but over, isn't it, really? Let's not beat around the bush here.
I also got a nice little DM from someone suggesting what I can tweet off your account.
Oh, no.
Which was
who DM'd
fun.
You?
I don't remember the name, but...
Oh, it wasn't someone we both...
No, it wasn't someone we know.
Okay.
It was a new person.
Okay.
Look
at you getting DMs.
Yeah, I'm getting little ideas. We're formulating something.
No, it's going to be about Alonso, isn't it?
Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
It's about Alonso, I know it. I mean, yeah, this week, though, you scored... so you got
four.
Pole wrong. We both got pole wrong.
We both got pole wrong.
But you got the top two in the race, correct? You said Verstappen and Hamilton, but you said George Russell P3. You didn't say George Russell for a murder. So you're up to 66 points overall. I got Verstappen win correct and nothing else. No, I got Perez
on
the podium.
Podium.
So I got three points. So I'm up to 47.
The gap's 19.
19 with
three races
to go. There's 26 points available still between now and the end of the year. So next weekend...
So it could become impossible. That's jokes.
Oh, that is so depressing. I mean, I've done better than Leclerc this year, so I guess I'll take that. But
I don't know. At least he had some hope of winning at some point.
Yeah, but I've made it at least with three races to go. I've still got a chance at the title. Leclerc didn't manage that, so I take that.
True.
I'm better than Charles Leclerc still at the end of the day. Race rating then, Jamie, before we round it out?
I think it was quality. I think I gave Silverstone a 9.5. I'll give this one a 9. It was very, very good.
It wasn't quite Silverstone, but it was very good. I think a 9 is pretty fair come the end of the GP. But are we doing predictions now, Jamie, or are we doing another podcast tomorrow?
We'll do them now.
We'll do them now.
We'll do them really, very fast.
Jamie's decided we're not doing another podcast for you all.
Yeah, apparently. This is enough for me this week.
Right, well, Mexico then.
Overexposed right now.
Poll top three.
Oh, it's so boring, isn't it? Just to go Verstappen. But this was his hunting ground before he even had a good car.
No, Red Bull were always rapid at Cota, Mexico. Remember? Ricardo was better.
I will go Max Verstappen. Poll. Max Verstappen win with Sergio Perez in second place at his home Grand Prix.
Okay.
And
the problem is now I've got to go different. Otherwise, I'm out of it. I
enjoy that.
I'm going to go
full send.
Leclerc poll.
Yep. There we go.
I'm gonna say Leclerc win.
Interesting.
Perez P2, Hamilton P3.
Verstappen, what's happened to him?
DNF.
Fair. Okay. We'll see if that happens.
It will.
You know Red Bull have won every race since Silverstone?
Yes, I did. Way.
And this man has just predicted a Ferrari win.
Yes.
In Red Bull's hunting ground.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
I stand firm by my conviction, Jamie. If you think I'm wrong, just wait until I end up putting a tweet off your account after I recover an unholy amount of points in the final few races.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But let us know your predictions in the comments.
Yes, yeah, let us know your top three down below as well. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. Jamie is, I'm sure, absolutely fuming at the other end of the show. The
please
fact this
end.
Has gone on
I
for
want to go
50
and eat
minutes.
Food.
I think we'd better quickly as well, just before we round this out, though, Jamie, talk about our favourite Grand Prix of the last 15 years. And I think you ought to explain to me why Hülkenberg's 2010 pole at Brazil was probably the luckiest race qualifying position there's ever been. But
you know, that wasn't lucky. He actually, you know, you always say, oh, he was on dry and everyone else is on
him off. That's incredible.
You know, Matt always, I'm bringing up fake stats here, like Crofty earlier. Matt always says, oh, it was lucky because Hulk was on dries and everyone else was on the inters.
No,
that's
he wasn't
not true.
On everyone was on. Hulk just went out
everyone
the right
was on dries.
Yeah,
everyone was on dries.
I'm just
and
amazed
Hulk
that
was just rapid.
Worked. Okay. Okay.
Right, end the podcast.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll return hopefully at some point next week with more Knowing Wheel.